The Old Testament passage for this morning is taken from the Book of Lamentations, which follows on the longer book of Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Please give your careful attention now to the reading of God's holy word. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Our New Testament reading is taken from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And I will read verses 25 through verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You may be seated. Let's ask God to enlighten our hearts and minds to receive his word. Almighty God, you who are the source of all light, by your word and spirit you give light to the soul. We ask that you would pour out upon us a spirit of wisdom and understanding, so that our hearts and minds may be opened to know your truth and your way. For these things we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. I have to assure people I'm not still drinking my morning coffee. This is a drink called Throat Coat for people who have very active sinuses during the winter season and during damp times. So I may have to lubricate my voice from time to time. I want to begin with a brief story of a hymn writer from a previous generation. Carolina Sandel Berg was the daughter of an evangelical minister in Sweden back in the 1800s. And as a young woman, she accompanied her father on a boat trip across a very large lake. And a large wave struck the boat. Her father fell overboard and drowned before her eyes. And that tragedy inspires some of her greatest hymns. Some of us still sing two of those hymns, Children of the Heavenly Father, and then the hymn that we will be singing following our message day by day and with each passing moment. It's a hymn that I think is largely based on this text from Lamentations chapter 3. And I want to use this morning some of the lyrics from that hymn, Day by Day and With Each Passing Moment, to help us understand what God is saying to us in this passage of his word, Lamentations chapter 3. And so I'll begin with the last part of the first stanza of Day by Day. These are familiar words to some of us. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. There are two points to that little phrase that the writer helps us understand what the prophet in Lamentations is saying. First of all, God is kind beyond all measure. That's one of his perfections, one of his many attributes, the kindness of our God, especially toward his people. And yet, he appoints pain and pleasure into our lives as he deems best. Some of the prayers this morning, our prayer of intercession offered by Elder Bruce, was for the pains and sorrows that many of God's children are experiencing. It's very helpful to recall that the book of Lamentations, and traditionally Hebrew scholars, the Jewish scholars, believed it was written by Jeremiah the prophet. I think he's the most likely human author. It was written as a lament, five laments, five songs of sorrow over a profound disaster that befell the nation of Israel. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed. The great temple of King Solomon was demolished. And the king in the line of David, the last king there, and most of the people were carried off into exile in Babylon. This was undoubtedly the greatest disaster that could befall a nation. It is difficult for us to believe that God is kind beyond all measure when he gives his children such pain. I say it's difficult for a believer. It is impossible for an unbeliever, for a non-Christian, to grasp that reality. Causing pain to someone is not equated with showing kindness, but it's true with God. He gives each day his wise and loving measure of pain and pleasure. I think that's the first point of that hymn where we will be singing. And also, I think it helps us understand what is going on in Lamentations, bemoaning the fall and destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The second point that the hymn helps us understand is this: there is a new mercy from God for each day's problem. The first part of the second stanza of that hymn says, every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. Someone has said, today's mercies are not designed to carry tomorrow's burdens. Today's mercies are not designed to carry the problems of tomorrow, though many of us have a tendency to borrow those problems before they even come. No, the scripture is telling us, and the hymn writer really celebrates this, there will be new mercies tomorrow for those burdens. Today's mercies from God are for today's troubles. I mentioned earlier that most of us, if truth be told, worry about tomorrow. In fact, I suspect that's one of the greatest burdens many of us bear. We live in one of the wealthiest nations in the history of the world. Most of us have sufficient food, we have clothing, we have a roof over our head, we have transportation, we have access to health care, and yet we worry. We worry about the economy. If we are parents, we worry about our children, their health, their schooling, their future. We wonder how they turn out. Will they come to faith in Christ? Will they confess him as Lord and Savior? Will they faithfully follow him? Some of us are worried about that, concerned about that for our grandchildren now. And for some of you as adults, you begin to worry about your parents as they grow older. We worry about ourselves. What will happen to us this year? Will I enjoy a measure of good health? Or will I suffer some unexpected illness? Will I enjoy happy relationships with my friends and families? What will it be like tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and all throughout this year? Will we have sufficient strength to face the problems when they come? And the lesson of that hymn, and more importantly, the lesson of God's word, is that the strength to live tomorrow will be given to you tomorrow and not today. The responsibility that God has given us today, the task he has assigned us now, does not include the strength needed for tomorrow's problems. Our responsibility, according to Scripture, is to live by the mercies of God that he has given us today in Christ Jesus, and to believe that promise that there will be new mercies for tomorrow and for each succeeding day. God himself must give us that grace to believe it. And with that grace, God will give us the faith that he will continue to give us that strength we need for tomorrow's problems until the very end of our lives and we meet our Savior face to face. Now, that biblical principle that we see in Scripture runs contrary to our natural desires. All of us want to feel strong and sufficient now as we face the challenges for tomorrow. We will pass through a day, often with many unexpected problems and challenges, and by God's help, with his presence and with his grace, we overcome them. But often at the end of the day, we feel very, very empty. Margaret and I served for a number of years in a country of Eritrea in the Horn of Africa, a semi-desert, 8,000 feet high on a plateau, and the water supply was not very predictable. I had a big tank of water on the ground, and when that would fill up, I'd pump it up to the roof and try to have a little bit of gravity flow for water that come out of the faucets, but I would watch that tank, the level of the water go low and low and lower and lower. Will there be enough water for tomorrow? That's somehow how we feel. We don't feel that we have the spiritual problems. We don't feel that we have the spiritual power for those problems that may come in the future. We think to ourselves sometimes, if I have another day tomorrow like the one I had today, I don't know how I can do it. Well, there's a basic lesson of the Christian life we need to learn and relearn and continue to learn all through the days of our lives. First of all, it's taught in two passages in the Scriptures. First of all, the words that we read of our Lord Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus tells us, he commands us, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, let me quickly suggest what Jesus does not mean. He is not telling us, do not make any preparations for tomorrow. There are Christians who sometimes live like that, and other people have to come to their rescue to help them. The farmer must make plans to sow his fields with seed before he needs it. The contractor collects his materials before he can build. Unless you're a weekend carpenter like me, and then it's unplanned trips to Menards for parts that I forgot. Jesus says in Luke 14, verse 28, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? So Jesus is telling us, make wise preparations for tomorrow. It's not unspiritual to try to plan ahead for the future. But he is also telling us, don't bring tomorrow's troubles into today, because each day has enough trouble of its own. What does Jesus mean? Well, I think the hymn writer, that Carolina Sandalberg, really understood that. It means our Heavenly Father, who is kind and wise beyond all measure, gives to each day what he deems best. Each day's troubles are enough because God determines their limit. God decides what is enough for his people. Even though we sometimes feel that we are going to be defeated by this problem. To be sure, there are preparations that we can make. We can fortify ourselves with the promises of God and his word. And here, as we are approaching the end of this year, I encourage you to use a regular Bible reading schedule to read a portion of God's word. I discovered some time ago, I unintentionally would lay a guilt trip on people by trying to give them schedules to read through the Bible in a year. And some people read very slowly. I tend to read slowly. And so I found a schedule for 2 years. And a dear saintly woman who I've always looked up to as very mature in the faith, a mother in the faith, said, "I'm such a slow reader, that's a challenge." And I found a wonderful schedule to read through the Bible in 3 years, and she did it in her early 90s. She was able to get through the Word of God and was greatly encouraged by that. I encourage you to find a program and fortify yourselves with those promises of God. And then pray according to those promises. And ask God for that grace to trust him. And then wait for him to work on your behalf, to daily display his fatherly compassion and his faithfulness. And then we can take time to meditate on the character of God. My wife gave me a list of 31 different attributes of God with an explanation, a definition, and to reflect and meditate on each one of those attributes, each one of those perfections of God, his kindness, his love, his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, his mercy, his grace. Reflect on those and store them up in your mind and in your heart. And then thank him for those past mercies toward us. But above all, as Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, because God does not want you to carry those future worries now. He's promised to give you strength for today's problems. Well, that's what Jesus is teaching us in Matthew 6. Now, I wanted us to go back to the first text I read in Lamentations 3. Those familiar verses, perhaps some of you have memorized them, verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I mentioned earlier those words were written, I think, by Jeremiah, inspired by the Spirit of God. They were written in a time of great discouragement. The army of Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar had marched, besieged the city, torn down the walls, and destroyed, leveled the city, including destroying the temple, taking all those temple treasures back to the pagan temples in Babylon. The kingdom of Judah had been overthrown. The last king in the line of David had been carried away as a prisoner to Babylon. And many of God's people had been marched off to exile, into exile, far from home. And yet the writer, who I think is Jeremiah, though he's not listed by name specifically, he is referring to the Lord's steadfast love and his mercies in these verses. These two words, steadfast love, it's actually one word in Hebrew, chesed, and it refers to God's covenant faithfulness that he has pledged in a solemn, binding, covenantal arrangement with his people whom he has purchased through the precious blood of Jesus to look ahead hundreds of years into the future. That steadfast love, despite the disobedience of his people. The King James translators, if some of you grew up on that version, they put two words together and coined a word, came up with a new word, loving kindness, to try to describe this character, this trait of God. God has bound himself to his people in a covenant relationship, and he's promised to show steadfast love, unfailing love, despite these temporal punishments of exile that he has visited upon them. And the word mercies, that second word, sometimes translated compassion, refers to the deep love a father has for his helpless child, or the tender love a mother has for her nursing infant. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God is our creator, and he knows us infinitely better than we know ourselves. And we are creatures whose bodies are formed from the dust of the earth. And he knows our weaknesses, and he knows our frailties. And as our Redeemer God, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, but he acts out in steadfast love and mercies, his tender compassion. And the writer tells us in verse 23, they are new every morning. What does that mean? Well, it means that God's steadfast love and his mercies are given to us each day, just for that day. It's like manna in the wilderness. Remember, you can't keep it overnight. You got to collect it every day. Enough comes for each day's trouble. The Word of God is calling us to live by faith in God's promise of his great love and compassion for us, made known most clearly in his Son, Jesus Christ, and to live like that day by day. The second stanza of that hymn, which we will soon be singing, says, every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. The mercy of God to carry you through this hour is given this hour. There are times in which we're tempted to say, if you haven't been there yet, perhaps you will, I have come to the end of my strength. I'm simply so discouraged that I feel I can't go on. How can I face tomorrow? Tomorrow's going to be impossible because I have no more strength. I'm physically and emotionally drained. But when we feel that way, God says to us in his word, when tomorrow comes with all of its problems, my steadfast love and my mercy will be new for you. They will give you all the strength, sufficient strength that you need. In other words, God is not asking us to live tomorrow on today's strength. Instead, God asks us to believe his promises that his mercies will be new, and they will be enough for us. All of us struggle with a fundamental problem in our walk with the Lord. And how we answer that is foundational to our growth in grace. It's very simple. Question is, will we live by faith or by sight? You know those familiar words that the Apostle Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And if we look at the context of 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul is referring to God's promise of a glorious future he is preparing for his children. Our heavenly dwelling with the Lord. And beyond that, the new heavens and new earth and a resurrection body, a glorified state like that of Christ himself, and the new heavens and new earth that will appear when Christ returns. All of these things are unseen spiritual realities. They are future blessings, and they are the final goal of our salvation, and none of us can yet see them with our physical eyes. But we believe them because God has promised. And we believe that those future blessings are just as sure and just as certain as the blessings of forgiveness and justification by faith that we have already received through the death and resurrection of Jesus and his ascension into heaven and his present ministry of intercession for his people. We believe that, and we believe what God has said about that future of glory. And Paul says in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5 that he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The Spirit of God should daily be assuring us that these things are true and we're destined for that future glory, no matter what the problems of the present may be. But here's the struggle. You and I want to live by sight. We want to see and we want to know all the details of what lies ahead, especially the trouble. Every December, my wife buys for me a monthly planner, an appointment book. She's high tech. She's got it all down on her phone, and I have a copy of it if I remember to look at my phone. But for some reason, I'm a dinosaur, a fossil, and I love to write it down in a planning book and look at it. And if my hand remembers it, maybe my brain will remember those appointments as well. So I have a monthly planner, and I can write down various appointments and meetings that are scheduled. But there are some things I can't write down. I can't write down that I will be struck down with a sudden sickness tomorrow, Monday morning, and then my wife will get sick on Tuesday, and on Wednesday my car will break down, and on Thursday I get the cheerful news of the repair bill from my mechanic, and on Friday there will be an urgent family crisis that I face, and then on Saturday I will be very, very discouraged. I can't write down all those things. I can't plan for all of my problems, and either can you? Because that's living by sight. And God does not show his children that. Instead, faith believes the promise of God, and it waits and hopes for tomorrow's steadfast love and his new mercies. Verses 22 through 24 of Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the spiritual battles we fight every day. We want to feel strong and adequate today, right now, to face all our future problems. And there are religious teachers out there who promise a once-for-all spiritual experience that is going to solve all your future problems. You can top off your empty tank today and feel fully equipped for tomorrow and ever after. But that's not what God is saying in his word. Instead, he says, trust me. Believe, embrace by faith my promises of mercy and love for you. Rest in my faithfulness and in my fatherly care, and I will give you what you need when you need it. I close with this story from the annals of missionary history. Roughly about 90 years ago, there was a Presbyterian missionary named John Vinson working in China. And it was a time of great civil unrest. The empire, Chinese empire, was collapsing, and there were a lot of rebel leaders, armed armies, militias that were fighting one another. And an army of bandits attacked the village where John Vincent was living and took him captive along with 150 villagers. And the government soldiers began to pursue the bandits. And that bandit chief offered to release the missionary. But John Vincent asked, well, will you let the villagers go too, along with me? And the bandit leader said, no, they are my hostages. I'm keeping them. Then the missionary said, I refuse to go free. And some of the Chinese witnesses who survived said that night a bandit put the gun to the missionary's head and said, I'm going to kill you. Aren't you afraid? How do you feel when you hear such a story? I ask myself that question. Do I have the faith? Would I have the faith to accept death with courage and with confidence in the Lord? Or let's present a situation more realistic to all of us living in the United States. Would I accept the diagnosis of a very serious illness, or being told in a week or so that my job is being terminated, or that my child has been seriously injured in a car crash. And we can multiply all of those types of things. Would I have that grace? What the Word of God is telling us, you really don't have to ask those questions now, because that's not today's trouble. It may be tomorrow's trouble, as our Heavenly Father gives to each day what he deems best. But God is calling us in his word to simply trust him now, so that when our time comes, when we are visited with the day of trouble, he will give us what we need. Now let me get back to that story of the missionary John Vincent. John Vincent looked at that bandit holding the gun to his head and said, "No, I am not afraid. If you kill me, I will go straight to my God." And the bandit fired his gun, and John Vincent entered the presence of his Savior. Today's mercies for today's troubles, tomorrow's mercies for tomorrow's troubles. Jesus put it even more simply, do not worry about tomorrow. Why? Because we know that both the troubles and those mercies are appointed for us by God each day. And God assures us in his word, tomorrow, those mercies, those tender compassions, that fatherly love, secured for us through the death and resurrection of the Son of God on our behalf, will be new, and they will be sufficient for all of our needs. Let's pray. Gracious Father, as we hear your word, as we meditate upon it, we pray that you would drive out our many fears by your perfect love. We ask that you would increase our faith by your Spirit's work within us, that you would continue day by day to give us greater understanding into your word and your ways, and to enable us to fix our thoughts and desires on you. Above all, Lord, grant us that perfect peace that passes all human understanding. And we pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.